Hello and welcome to Are You Connected? This is podcast number 65 and today is Sunday, the 8th of September. And my name's Lois Smethurst and with me is my friend Jenny Ashby. Hello, Jenny.
Hello, Lois. How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you after the big election?
Oh, I'm a bit electioned out.
A bit electioned out?
Yes, electioned out.
A new Prime Minister?
Yes.
And so that must be some sort of milestone, another one.
A new party, so now all the letterheads will change and more money will be wasted as it does every time the new government comes in.
Oh, perhaps they just get out a different box, Jen. Maybe they've got them all in the cupboard.
They could do, couldn't they? You know, I was looking last night while I was following the election. I was looking on the website, the Australian Electoral Commission.
Yes.
Had the virtual count.
Yes.
And it's a great site for maths at school.
Yes. Full of statistics.
Yeah, numbers, percentages. You could go to town. You could just have a field day in there with maths, plus get some information from it and learn about different things, make some comparisons.
Well, we had a bit of a look, didn't we?
It was quite interesting. Yeah. So I imagine your secondary school kids, a little bit older perhaps in the primary schools, would be able to do some talking about the different results in different areas and wonder why these people did that and what's it like where they live?
Well, and the other thing is the numbers really mean something. Like it has the pluses and minuses and the percentages and they actually all mean something, don't they? So that was interesting. So what have you been doing at school, Jen?
At school I've been doing a lot of makey-makey and bee-bots and all those sorts of things like that.
Makey-makey, you might have to explain makey-makey to our listeners.
Well, I went to the Invent to Learn Day in Ballarat. That was a really great day with Gary Stager and Sylvia Martinez. And the whole day was just doing things. It wasn't someone sitting talking to you. They had all these activities set up and you went around and did all the and had a go at everything.
Yeah, so did they have cards that suggest that you might try to do this or you might try to do that? Was it directed in some way?
Some of them had cards and things with them, yes. And other ones you just sat there and had a go at them.
And so what's makey-makey then? Makey-makey is?
Makey-makey is a little board, like when you open your computer and you see all those horrible things that give you a fright.
Yeah.
It's one of those board things.
The little cities. You see the little cities inside your computer, I call them.
And you can basically hook it up with wires and you attach a wire to yourself as well.
Oh.
It's all to do with circuits and things and being grounded and all that sort of thing. And then you attach a wire to something that will control the arrow keys perhaps. Something that would control the space bar. So say if I hooked up a banana with a wire to the board, to the space bar, when I touch the banana, it will do the space bar thing.
Oh.
So the other day I made myself up a little arrows drawn on a piece of paper with grey lead pencil.
Right.
And took it over to the side and put a button on the side and then hooked the clips onto it that you do, the electric clips that go back to the board.
Yeah.
And then when I press on my little arrows, it works.
Oh.
And it controlled the thing. So I had to go off Pac-Man. Haven't played Pac-Man for a long time. So it means you can have other things controlling your computer. So whatever you have attached to it becomes the mouse or it becomes the A key or the D key. You can get websites that have drums and things and each drum is usually controlled by a certain key on your keyboard.
Oh, fascinating.
So you can have all these other things. So for ages, I've seen it, but it's been out for quite a while and I've looked at it and always thought, now why would you want to do that? To me, it's like driving your car to the clothesline.
Right.
You know, why don't you just use the keyboard?
Yes.
But it's the process of getting it to work and understanding how it works, where the learning occurs.
It's another programming type thing, isn't it? It's.
And you can also actually hook it up to Scratch.
Right.
When you plug it in, it has a USB cable that plugs into your laptop from the board.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have that and open Scratch, a new little menu at the bottom comes up.
Mm-hmm.
And with different tools just for the makey-makey.
Oh.
Mm.
Wow.
So it's interesting.
So problem-solving, creativity, all those things, those higher-order thinking skills are involved.
Yes, yes. Oh. And I got my bee-bots organised because I've had bee-bots on my wish list and on my quite some years now. And every year they were the sort of thing that didn't get purchased because some other things came up.
That's right.
So I got those and I've actually made a whole lot of handheld aids to go with them.
Mm-hmm.
from the BeeBot app, because there's a BeeBot app you can have on your iPad.
Yes, I've got that. We use that.
Yeah, so I just took screenshots actually of the BeeBot page on your iPad,
mm-hmm.
and then I've made arrows and the different symbols, and the kids can actually sit there and write out a program using these things, and then one kid can actually be the BeeBot.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And have the BeeBot thing and move around looking at their arrows and things.
Yeah.
And then we can have other kids using the iPads and doing on there, and then we can have other kids using the BeeBots.
Oh, sounds fun.
And then the BeeBots develop into the ProBots.
Are they the next up robots?
Yes, and the ProBots have a screen on it, and you can actually put in degrees and distances.
Are they shaped like cars?
Yeah, they're cars. It's a car. Right.
Yeah.
So it's like a racing car type.
I have seen them. I thought they were the next ones up, yeah.
Plus you put a pencil in it and then it will draw.
Oh, okay. You tell it to go. That sounds good.
Yeah, so you're really, really into logo there.
That's very tempting.
Yes.
Yeah, so all those different stages, they sound great. It sounds like it'd be good to have both, really.
Yes, well, I've got both of them. And then I've got the WeDo, which is the Lego. And the Lego, it hooks up to Scratch as well. So you run it through Scratch and you plug in your Lego and build up things with little motors, and then depending on what you tell it to do in Scratch, then your Lego will use its motor and do those things.
So is that a little bit like the robotics in the Lego?
It could be, yes. I haven't used the robotics myself, but I think maybe the robotics might be the next step.
The robotics, we've got the robotics, and it will run on the Scratch language, but it also has its own language.
Yes.
And the competitions that they enter with the robotics require them to use the Lego language rather than the other, I think.
Yes, because you have to buy the software.
Yes.
Yes.
That's right.
So with all the things I've bought, I've tried not to buy software, you see, because then you need a site license and then it goes on and on, doesn't it?
Well, it does. But if you want to be part of that big
competition,
first Lego League or Robo...
Robo Girls?
Robo Girls is the... they're the students at Melbourne Uni who come out and help you, who help encourage girls to be engineers by showing them, you know, how fun robotics can be.
Yeah. Mm. It was interesting the other day when I brought the BeeBots into one class and showed them, and one of the kids said, has it got sensors?
Oh, really?
So they know more than we know for sure.
Yeah, that's great, isn't it?
But the next day there were quite a few kids who came and said, I downloaded the BeeBot app last night. I've got it.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, they're right into it.
That's fantastic.
And what have you been doing, Lois?
Well, we're right into the middle of that film festival season where our grade 5-6 films are nearly finished, ready to be shown. They're going to be shown on the 16th of September, next Monday night.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a lot of flurry going on with trying to finish them off and getting sound files correct and all those things. So we're working quite hard on that. There's a lot of filming and radio show things happening. We had
now tell me, Lois, how do your kids go with getting the audio on your movies?
Well, they're pretty good. They do it in a whole variety of ways, though.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things we've been doing that we haven't done in the past is using the radio studio and recording it in the studio with the big mics as a radio type play.
Mm-hmm.
And then they take that and match it to the photos, because that works for your digital stories. With their filming, they do their audio, they film their audio through their camera, or they take out the microphone and attach that to the camera and have that somewhere out of shot but quite close to the speaking person. Or they don't do speaking at all.
So they don't do any dubbing in their movies?
No.
Rush.
No, dubbing in movies is hard. Okay. Do you do that?
Well, they're going to begin to, because they've had so much trouble with trying to get the sound and microphones and all that. And we've watched some you can do it type movies on how you do it.
Well,
how you do it.
With the clapperboards.
With the clapperboards.
You know, when you make a loud sound and you record the sound at the same time but separate from the camera, and then you can pull the sound in and match it underneath.
Yes.
Yeah. No, we don't do it that way.
So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah. We found the microphone. I've got a microphone on a microphone stand, and you can prop that in quite close to where the person's going to speak. It's got a very long lead. So the camera can be a lot further away, but you take the shot so the microphone's just out of shot, but it's a lot closer to the person than the camera is, and that works quite well. As long as you remember to turn it all on.
I guess if you had a swivel, that would help.
Well, it does swivel. The microphone does swivel.
But if you had one of those swivel gadgets, and if you're only having one person in the shot talking or whatever, they can wear the little thing on themselves somewhere, and then the sound just gets recorded in that. I guess it's like a wireless microphone, isn't it?
I don't know. That's the swivel gadget that we were going to mention in our gadget section further down.
Yeah, maybe we need wireless microphones.
Well, we've looked at that, but they're quite expensive.
Are they?
Yeah, we would like to do wireless microphones, but they were quite expensive. The ones that go back to the camera, yes.
That's something to investigate.
Yeah, it's something to look at. So, and the other thing I was going to mention, Jen, we've had our radio show with a new group of kids with their radio show, and they decided they wanted to interview Beck and George from the block Sky High.
You know
that TV series where they renovate the whole building?
Yes, yeah.
And Beck and George were a really popular couple on there, and so their teacher said, sure, whatever you want, just write to them and ask them. So they've done all this authentic learning and writing letters and inviting people to be part of the show.
Yes.
And they said yes.
Oh, that's great, isn't it?
Oh, it was the most it was wonderful. They did a phone interview in the studio, in our studio. But Beck even went to where George was working so that he could be part of the interview and put their phone on speakerphone, and the kids interviewed Beck and George over the phone. It was just great. So exciting.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, that was true.
So we're having a good time at school. Lots of things happening. Lots of authentic learning, I would think.
That's good, authentic learning.
Yes. Now, apart from that, Jen, we've been pretty busy, haven't we?
We have been busy. A conference there we went to.
Yes, and getting presentations ready takes a lot of time, doesn't it?
Does, yes. You like to have things right.
Yes.
So we went to the IWB Net conference.
Yep.
Digital Leaders.
Digital Leaders, that's right, in Melbourne.
Yes.
At the Crown Casino, which was very nice.
Which was 3 days long and had quite a few keynotes. What keynote would you like to talk about?
I was going to mention Kathy Schrock's keynote because Kathy is very generous with her materials and all her work, because even if you don't get to her keynote, which is just chock-a-block full of stuff, you can go to her website and see the slides for all her presentations, and all her information is available there. So I thought there's a couple there that I've highlighted, but the one iPads for Teaching based on it's based on her cognitive cogs. She calls those cogs where you looked at, it's a bit like Bloom's, where you looked at creating, remembering, understanding, applying, analysing and evaluating.
Yes.
And what she's got on her website is actually interactive. So when you click on the aspects of evaluating, for example, it goes to an app that would help you do that in your classroom. So that's it's a terrific website with lots of stacked full of information.
Bloomin' apps.
Yeah, Bloom's.
Bloomin' apps. Looks great, doesn't it? She's really gathered a heap of resources and put them on there.
Well, she has. So, and I think it's incredibly generous when you put, if you're going around the world keynoting, where you put all that information up there for people to go and see too. But she's also, she's got it copyrighted as Kathy Schrock. So if you're using her material, you'd have to acknowledge that she's the author of that material. And things like that.
And most things usually have contact details and everything. And if I'm going to be using something, I often send an email across to whoever it is.
Yeah.
And you usually get a response fairly quickly. And they're quite pleased for you to use it. Yeah. And they really like being asked.
I think it's important to ask, don't you?
I think it's great.
So there was a couple of things. What about – and what's your keynote that you'd like to mention, Jen?
The one I'd like to mention was on the last day, which sometimes can be a problem because by the last day, sometimes you're brain dead.
You are absolutely brain dead.
Seen so much stuff. But it was the keynote from Professor Esther Kerr from Melbourne University, all about the assessment of teaching of 21st century skills.
Which is a really interesting idea, isn't it? Something we have to start thinking about really seriously.
Yeah, well, they've been working on a project where they're developing activities, assessment, a lot of online things to use, and they're trialling it with different schools so that schools would be able to assess the teaching of 21st century skills. And they've broken it up into different sorts of skills, social skills, and then knowledge skills. Mm-hmm. And they've got different sorts of assessment, but I was really interested in the way they were assessing for instance, the use of chat, like we may use chat when we're using various online portals.
Well, Google Docs is a perfect example of that. Our kids always, nearly always have the chat open when they're collaborating on a document.
Yeah, well, they even analyse and assess the chat and categorise it into social skills and knowledge skills about like, what the children are doing. Yeah. And so,
yeah, when I think
it's been trialled in different countries around the world, and I guess they're hoping to get it up to a stage where schools will be able to use it. I think the next step is it's going to be used in the US.
Yeah, right. Well, see, that's – I mean, when we watch what the kids are doing, when we do radio show, we put the kids into groups and we usually have a group leader, and you'll often see the group leader trying to get kids to on task on in their chat. You know, you need to comment in this area. You haven't done this bit yet. How about you mention this? So I guess that's something that's really important to be assessed, isn't it? I mean, if they're showing those leadership skills.
Yeah, so, for instance, in the social skills, they have some strands. One of them is participation, of course.
Yeah.
One of them that I found very interesting is the idea of perspective taking, because you have to take in different perspectives, and that's the thing children have trouble with.
Oh, they do.
And the other one was social. Yep, social regulation, the idea of negotiation, self-evaluation, and responsibility initiatives and things like that in social regulation. So they've really looked at social skills. And then in cognitive, they've got task regulation, resource management and collection and all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And then knowledge building as the other strand. So it's really interesting the way they've broken it up. And I went down a couple of days to Melbourne Uni and did some work where we had to work out some activities that could be used for collaboration the day I went down. So it was really interesting couple of days I had doing that. So then when I saw the keynote, I was even more interested.
Because that's part of what you'd been doing.
Yes, and you can actually find Esther's PDF file on the IWB website there that she's kindly let everyone use and have a look at. And it's got some very interesting information in. So if people want to get that, it'll be in our show notes.
Yeah, we've actually linked to the IWB conference notes, haven't we, where most of the presenters have put their resources. So anyone who wasn't able to go might like to have a browse through there to see if something grabs their attention.
Yes, so that was very interesting.
Yeah, so Jenny, I was just going to mention a couple of things about some software. Did you see Audacity has a new upgrade? So if you use Audacity at all, it's you should upgrade it. Mm. And the other thing I was going to mention, have you updated your on-demand testing, because it has a whole suite of new tests now for the Ausvals?
Yes, I think it has been.
Yeah.
Done at my school. But I think perhaps on-demand is more useful than NAPLAN.
I think it is, because it's used for a purpose.
And you get the results there and then.
That's right.
Not in 4 or 5 months' time. So you can use it today and tomorrow, which is what you want.
And it does allow you to give kids instant feedback too, whereas if you're marking a complicated test, it might be 2 weeks after the kids have done the test sometimes before you get them all done, or a week, you know. But some of those hand-marked tests take a long time.
So what about Padcaster?
Oh, Padcaster is a gadget. You were going to put your gadget in, which was Swivel, which you've linked to there, which is really a fascinating little gadget. But Padcaster is one we've been using in school a bit too, and it allows you to put your iPad on top of a tripod, and it has all different little holes and slots around the edges so that you can attach microphones or lights or whatever. But if you just stick it on a tripod, it makes your iPad a much more stable movie camera. So we've got a couple set up that we hope sort of are permanently set up, because it takes a while to get them in and out and whatever.
Yeah, well, I've had kids rigging up all sorts of things to hold iPads.
Oh, I know.
If you use music stands, music stands haven't been too bad.
Oh, right. Yeah, well, that's right. Or, you know, book stands. You know the book stands in the library when you prop a book on?
Yes.
You do need a good solid tripod, because an iPad's quite heavy on the top of it, and so you need one that's not going to tilt over. But it does, you know, I've seen movies taken without any stands at all, and you think, oh, my goodness, they're a bit seasicky, aren't they?
Well, that was a good learning experience for our kids, actually, because when they took their first videos, we went through and we sort of pulled out all the bugs that we had to fix.
Yeah.
And that was one of them.
Yes.
So,
we had a bit of that. Yeah, we've got the same
I'll have to look up those Padcasters.
Yeah, they're not cheap, but they're sort of a handy tool. Nice thing to have.
I think anything with pad in it usually isn't cheap, is it?
Well, you've got to have the right tools for the right job. But, you know, and then the good We've got a lovely set of pair of tripods now too, and ones that you can actually you can actually take the arm out of the middle that goes up and down and put it horizontally across so that you can film things with the bird's eye view.
Oh, okay.
Whereas we used to use an easel, like a kid's art easel, and some bendy legs with a little camera on it. Now we've actually got the a tripod that we can turn the angle of the camera to be face down. Or
what's that called?
I don't know. I'd have to look it up for you.
Next show. Okay.
I might just put it in the show notes. How's that?
Okay. The swivel that I did mention is you get two gadgets with it. One is the piece that you wear somewhere. You can have it on your coat pocket, or you can wear it around your neck on a chain or something. And the other thing is a swivel thing with a swivel on top that you can sit your iPad on or your iPhone on. And you connect it all up, and with the camera running, wherever you move, it swivels around and follows you.
Yes, because the little receiver that you're wearing directs it, doesn't it?
And then the receiver that you're wearing also picks up your sound and sends your sound, so you don't have to worry about microphones and things. Plus, it will see where you are. Great for teachers who want to record their lesson.
Yeah. Well, it would be really interesting, wouldn't it?
And also for students who are recording something as well and don't want to have problems with microphones and things.
It does make you wonder whether you could film with that, whether you could do the issue we were talking about with sound and whether that would work for that.
I guess if it was a film with just one person in it.
Yes. Well, often talking parts only have one or two people in them.
Yeah, sometimes, yeah.
I wonder if the microphone is in the receiver that the person's wearing, or is it using the microphone on the camera still?
No, it's using the one in the receiver.
Okay, so that
because that's what's good about it, because you get good sound.
Yes.
Yeah. Interesting. About $250.
Well, that's, podcasters are about $250.
Oh, okay. So maybe my music stand's a good idea then.
Well, podcaster without the tripod is about $250. Anyway, so let's have a quick. You've got
quick
some
look at the apps.
Quick look at the apps.
I've got Mixbit there, which allows you to take a video mix and share it with other videos and create things. So you can grab little snippets of videos and put them all together.
That sounds good. And Telegami. Now Telegami's on my list.
Telegami is an app that is similar to, well, it reminds me of making Vockies in that you put in your text and you make up your character and then it speaks what you say.
Yeah.
Except you also have backgrounds and things that you can work with, and it makes it into a little movie file rather than having to embed it and have an embed code.
We did see people using Telegami at the conference, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
They had it in their presentation, so it looked really quite good. Less static, perhaps, than Vocky.
Yes, I think so. Yeah, and because, see, it's not running off the internet. Each time you run a Vocky, it's still running off the internet.
Okay.
Whereas these are little files that you have. And they were great. And we've put it on our iPads for our Chinese lessons.
It's a free one.
I think it is, yes, it's free. Our Chinese teachers are using it with our students and they're doing Chinese telegramas.
Okay, that's going on mine too then. For the same reason, we're doing Mandarin in our school too, so I'm sure the kids would like that.
And what about PhotoSync?
Now, PhotoSync is just another one of those photo transferring apps, which I'm just finding I need more and more. But PhotoSync is one that has a client on your computer, so you can transfer from your computer to your iPad or your own phone, as long as you're on the same network, and it doesn't rely on an IP address, a bit like Wi-Fi Photo. But mind you, Wi-Fi Photo has been very successful in my school. Teachers are loving it, and so that works well too. But that works with an IP address that kids have to type in to a browser. I think PhotoSync, I used it this morning, was easier to use than Wi-Fi Photo.
Really?
But I'm just not. I haven't used it at school, so I'm not positive that it's going to work on supervised devices. I'm sure it will, but I'm not positive. Now, the other thing, this last one I'm going to talk about is one that Kathy Schrock showed me. And it's not free, but it's a fairly amazing app. It's called Parallel Access. And what it does is it's an app that goes on your iPad and it lets you you put an app on your iPad and you put a client on your computer and it lets you access your computer, all the apps on your computer, on your iPad. It's like a virtual computer. So long as you, I mean, you can use it, your computer can be at home and you can be at school.
Mm.
And you can open up your parallel access. And as long as your computer is awake,
you can see its screen.
You can see the apps inside it. You can run PowerPoint or Keynote or whatever it is you want.
So you can control your computer with your iPad.
Absolutely. So it's amazing. It's not free, but they give you a 14-day free trial. And if it's something that you could use, it's about $70 a year. I don't think that's expensive if that's something that would be useful for
you. Oh, you pay a subscription.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Because there are quite a few other apps that do that.
This one is extremely accurate. This one actually lets you open and use the applications on your computer, though, not just see the files. You can create on there.
Well, it basically mirrors your computer onto your iPad. It's like I've got the computer on my screen, but I haven't.
Yeah.
Virtual.
Yeah, but it's more than just seeing screens.
Like remote desktop connection.
Yes.
Yes.
From your iPad, though.
Yes, from your iPad, though.
That's right. Yeah. That was pretty cool.
That's remote, yeah.
Mm.
Well, that could be handy at some stage, couldn't it? Do you have to be on the same Wi-Fi network?
No, because you can have your computer in your house at another country and it'll work.
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking.
Yeah.
That might solve the problem of, will I take my laptop with me or not?
Well, you might not have to.
I really would like to go without the laptop, but there's a part of me still tied to it.
Well, try this, Jen.
And then I take it and I don't use it.
I know, and they're heavy to lug around, aren't they?
Yeah, and I'm thinking, why have I bought this laptop?
Talking about going on your trip, Jen, we haven't mentioned that. Yeah. Where are you off to next?
I'm off to Tucson, Arizona.
And what are you going to do there?
I'm going to Mobile 2013 next week.
That'll be fantastic.
Yes, it's going to be a great time. And it's going to be hot.
I was going to say, how hot is it there at the moment, Jen?
Well, average temperature is sort of like 40 degrees, but they do go up to 42 or 43. And then if a cool day, cool day, they might have 35. So,
oh, my goodness.
But inside, it's always cold.
And you're presenting over there?
I'm doing a couple of presentations, at Mobile 2013.
Well, that's a nice feather in your cap.
I'm doing all about creating and sharing.
Our time's up. We're already up to the half-hour mark.
Yes, time to go. Well, thanks for today.
Thanks for today, Jen. It's been a long time. Let's try and make the next one a bit sooner than this one. And thanks, listeners, for listening today and tuning in, and we hope to catch you again soon.
Bye.
Bye.
Are you connected?